Do you want to go bigger, badder, better, more? Are you ready to level up your life? Are you ready to be awesome? Now is the time, and this is Success Freaks.
Welcome to Success Freaks number 206, how to stay up when you're down.
Our topics come from listener Dawn in the Hoba Hideaway.
We ask, is laughter really the best medicine?
We then tackle depression and its ramifications.
In the Level Up, we learn life is the best medicine and not to take yourself out of the game.
Because Mikey, he likes it. And then on beyond, we talk about developing the tools and refining your belief.
All this coming up right now. Welcome, welcome everyone to the number one upside up comedic motivational show, otherwise known as Success Freaks. Today's working title is episode 206, How to Stay Up When You're Down. And today we are coming at you semi-live from Kennerdale, Pennsylvania and the Bears Den in Conyers, Georgia. In that Bears Den, dark side positive, Charles McFall.
Kettlebell, Pennsylvania.
What?
I don't understand what you're saying.
I don't understand the words coming out of your mouth.
Only you could go to Pennsylvania to prevent forest fires. So, hey, man, how's it going this week?
It's swell. I have traveled from...
Really? You went with swell.
It's so swell, it's swollen. I have traveled all the way from Atlanta, Georgia, to the Charlotte, North Carolina, actually to Gastonia, North Carolina, up to Glassport, Pennsylvania, to visit my sister and nephews. And then now I am up here in Kennerdale, Pennsylvania with friends of ours. And we'll be here for the next month, you know, 3 weeks or so.
Okay. Glad to have your itinerary. Thank you.
There you go. Well, you asked, man.
Did I? Did I really? I don't remember. I've slept since then.
You did. Mm-hmm.
So, yes, you're in the in-between. I am still slaving away in the studio, making sure we sound pretty and do everything right, along with our good friend Mike Woodard, who is the producer of the show now.
Is that Mike on the mic?
Mike on the mic. Yes. Of course, then we have Mike DeChuck, who's in the chat room and gives us great information and does some amazing artwork. So we have Mike in the chat room, too.
Oh, my God. So. Please stop.
Please stop. Okay. Well, you know what? We have this Patreon, and I'm not here to sell you Patreon. I'm talking about it because we have members of our Patreon, and there's different levels there. But the number one level, when you become a Patreon, when you pledge to support the show, you get into the Hoba Hideaway, right? It's our super secret squirrel special group where we can talk to each other. And you like that? You've never heard that before? Have you heard that
before?
Yeah,
no.
Oh, man, people in the EMS and the emergency medical system, I don't know why they started saying it, but in reference to our paramedic numbers, EMT numbers, they start saying, what's your secret squirrel number? And it just stuck for a long time. I don't know if they still do it, but for a while in my area, they did it. So it's still in my head. So our secret squirrel hideaway is on Facebook, and you can interact with us. And sometimes we'll go, hey, what are you going through? What's going on in your life? What would you like us to talk about? And we have somebody. I don't know if she wants us to say her name.
We just call her Listener Dawn.
Okay, Listener Dawn, who is a Patreon. We love you. Thank you very much for that. She has asked us, do we have any thoughts or advice for staying positive in real life, as opposed to, I guess, staying positive in a game, while working around serious health conditions? Not to make a lot of her situation, but this is comedic motivation. Now, she didn't say specifically her. It might be a friend. It might be something else going on. So we decided to go with how to stay up when you're down, right? That's going to cover when you're dealing with medical issues, when you're dealing with family with medical issues. That one gets
tough times financially. You got laid off from your job. Things like that.
When life just kind of piles on like a big bologna sandwich and you don't have any cheese.
And you're allergic to bologna.
Well, I wouldn't be working with you if I was.
Oh, no. Man. That's right, but this is all beef bologna, baby.
I don't know how to take
it. Okay, we just went hard weird on that one. So let's just
I'm going to tweet that out while you talk. Go ahead.
No, there you go. Fine. So this is an interesting thing because it's not something we've really covered before. Maybe we might have touched on it, and I'm hoping that you have some interesting stories or things to bounce off with this, because I have met people who are going through some difficult times. I do have some friends who have medical issues that are happening right now, and And, you know, they say, hey, laughter is the best medicine. Well, we know. I think penicillin is the best medicine, but laughter is a closed section. And if you don't keep your attitude up, it works against you. It works against your healing process and things like that. And I'm not just saying, well, you know, in spite of the things you're going through, you should always be look on the bright side of life.
Try to figure out if you're doing Bill Clinton there or not.
I did for a little bit. And okay. I don't know why. You know, it just went into that. You've got to. I don't know. I don't know what he says. So, vote Hillary. That's all I've got to say.
Is that all Bill has to say, or all you have to say? Because we cannot do politics. That's
it. We are not a political show. We will not do politics. Vote Hillary. We are not.
Here's the thing. Here, I'm going to help you because the audience might be doing the same thing. I'm going to help you because you have to have personal stories too. You can't just rely on me like you always do. You know what I'm saying?
Well, not always. No,
not always. Just always. So I'm just.
You are my bright side of life. How about that?
I'm your second star to the left. Straight on.
You are morning. Straight on till morning. You know it.
We got stuff to talk about. Anyway, you've gone through illness. You may have just gotten through it. But you need to realize how you got through it. I don't know if you personally, Mona, have ever tackled a serious illness in your life. I've got an interesting story. We'll use it as a parable, if you will, because I didn't hear it directly, but it's a cool teaching moment. It's an interesting mindset. I've got some stories for myself, of course. But what I'm trying to help you and the audience get to is it's not just you. It's your family or your personal friends you would call family that has gone through anything, down times, hard times. You were with me when I lost my house. You were with me when I had my last two kids. Not when I made them, but when I had them. And you were with me. Okay, good. There's a laughter. I was like, nothing. Oh, crap. That was a bad one. So what I'm saying is start thinking about how the things in around you have affected you or even yourself. I mean, I think you guys had to drop part of a contract or you've looked at, and I know in the past couple of years, you've lost shows and had to fill that gap with other money. I mean, anything that gets you down, how do you stay up? And those are the things we're going to tackle.
One of the things that I've dealt with is my mother. My parents adopted us in their mid 40s. So they were, you know, many, many years up. My mom around 79 or 80 contracted cancer. And I remember her dealing with that. I remember her keeping a positive attitude. And when the doctor said, do this, she did chemotherapy. She did, you know, I don't know if she did radiation and things like that. I know she had to deal with all that. Eventually, 3 years later, she was 82 when the cancer finally moved from her lungs into her brain and took her. But through that all, she kept fighting. She maintained a positive attitude. She kept going for life, even though at her advanced age, even though the advanced illness, she move forward. And did that prolong her life? Possibly, maybe not. Did it affect her life experience? Yes. You know, instead of just moping around and wailing, woe is me, she kept very active as she could. She still saw family. She still, you know, her and my sister were very, very close and they spent time there together. I was actually supposed to go visit. I had set up I was in Minnesota at the time. I had set up two flights, one week fly back, do my job, fly back the next week. And we were all very excited about it. And just before I went is when she, you know, she succumbed to the cancer. In a weird way, it worked out because I was the one who was there able to close down everything. I was there, you know, being able to take care of her house, take care of all those other things that needed to be taken care of. You know, I had one of my brothers fly in with his family. So I had that. And remaining, it's an interesting thing. You see on TV, and I know I'm kind of bouncing around here, but you see on TV, somebody dies and then you have the funeral and that's it. That's what you see. You don't see them going through the house. You don't see them going through their, you know, some of your memories and dividing that up amongst the siblings and figuring out what to do, going into bank accounts and safety deposit boxes, which is when I found out more about my adoption. So.
Well, good. You're able to find out more stuff. I've done the same thing. We can talk more about that coming up in the next section. But first, a big shout out to AM 1450 WGNC for having us on the air. We love you guys over in Gastonia, North Carolina. And, of course, blogtalkradio.com/successfreaks. We love being on this platform. And we're going to tell some up stories, some down stories, but we're definitely going to give you some practical steps of what we did, how we changed, how we saw life to stay up when we're down. All that coming up next. So, you know what? Stick around and we'll get back in just a minute.
Since 2011, Mordant and McFall have been bringing you the comedic motivational show, Success Freaks. They've covered everything from life and death to relationships and money and even on beyond to chasing and catching your dreams and leveling up your life. They're in the business of entertaining and edifying, and they'd like to level up their message as well as their reach. This is where you come in. If you believe in what we're doing here, we'd like your continued support in giving your mind and spirit something to chew on each week while putting enough laughter in your heart to make you smile out loud. Help us help others and you to be awesome. Just go to patreon.com/successfreaks.
Welcome back to Success Freaks 206. How to stay up when you're down. Now, in the last segment, we were talking about, I was going on about my mother's illness, her struggle with cancer, me dealing with stuff afterwards. How do you stay up when all of that stuff is happening? Those of you who are struggling with an illness or something that has gone, you know, just happening, whether you've been, your company is downsized, you're out of work, or any kind of tragedy that you're dealing with, you know that life moves on whether you are ready to do it or not. Now, I've always said, you know, you get hit in the face, you get to reel from the punch, you get to have your pity party, but then you got to suck it up and move on. And how do you do that when you're still dealing with the illness and you're still dealing with not having a job, or you're still dealing with somebody else's tragedy or whatnot? It is not easy. It's not an easy thing, but it is a definitely a helpful thing, because the more that you are weighed down by whatever you're going on, more that you're, you know, whether you're sad, you're moping around, you've got depression, which is suppressed anger, you know, you have those things, the more you're doing that, then that's the issue. Then you can't work on getting better. Then you have that inertia pulling you downhill. And instead of just making a quick reversal and heading uphill, you have to actually fight that inertia pulling you downhill. You know, I said in the last segment, you know, they say laughter is the best medicine, and it does. It releases endorphins. It does certain things.
It's hard to laugh during those times.
Absolutely, but it does help the healing process. Now, will it heal you? Will it cure you? You know? Listen to your doctor on this, but it doesn't hurt.
Well,
and where the depression can.
I'm going to jump in here.
Jump in.
Because you asked that question, can it heal you? There's no definitive answer. Not from my mind. If you read or watch The Secret, there are people in there who talked about they just stopped watching anything negative. They cut out all news. They cut out like violent movies, those kind of things. And they only watched stuff that made them laugh. And the lady, I think, was diagnosed with some kind of cancer. And they just did that for a long time. And basically, they believe that because they just pulled towards the positive. They said, we're not even going to be concerned about the cancer. We're not going to think about it. We're not going to let any negative into our lives right now. We're just going to laugh. She healed herself. That's her belief, and she believes that. Now, I want to talk about there's something about believing what you believe. Yeah, this is the parable I was referring to. Somebody else told me this story that they spoke directly to the person, and I relate to this a little bit, but there's a guy who was diagnosed with brain cancer, a younger guy, I think he's in his 20s. Matter of fact, he just said, you know what, I just decided that didn't work for me. Brain cancer didn't work for me, so I just kind of opted out of the program. I opted out and not having it, and he doesn't have brain cancer now. What do you believe about that is up to you. Laughter, maybe it can heal you. Maybe it can just change your mindset to where you're not focused on the negative all the time. I don't know. I do know that being positive, pulling towards the positive, will help you feel better. It'll help you move forward. And this is still dealing with your own illness, but even in dealing with family illnesses. I have a different story I might tell later, but I want to throw back to Mordant. But even in dealing with those around you, Mordant, you've told the story many times, just not on this topic, but in a different way, of having that person, you see them once a year or twice a year and go, hey, how's it going? Oh, my life sucks. And you're like, after a while, you just want to stop talking to them, right?
Yeah. There's a very, very short amount of time.
Right. But there's a good point to that. You know, I'm thinking of my family and how I had to pull them into positive. I mean, my parents and my sister, when I first left that house and tried to get out on my own, they were like pulling me back in, and it was dark and negative and it was harsh. Then once I really pulled away and started living my own life and fought that battle, then it was every time I talked to them, something was horrible in their lives. And ultimately, to get my life straight, to get my happiness stable, hey, here's a thought. Here's something I just came up with. Sometimes you have to pull away from everything that makes you unstable to stabilize yourself, to stabilize your emotions, to stabilize your happiness, so that you can be back into that mix and not be affected by it. You know, if the boat's rocking, how are you going to pull anybody in? I had to leave my family for a good 2 years. I mean, my parents and my sister, I always stayed with my wife, always stayed with my kids. But I had to separate from my parents, not talk to them for 2 years. I'm not saying a time frame is important to you. so I can stabilize my happiness. And now I'm back in there. And because I'm different, they're different. If I talk to them about what's going on, they'll actually lead with happy stuff first. I might still get the negative. I might still get the, oh, poor, pitiful me, because that's part of who they are. But I don't get that first anymore. Morton, what do you think about that?
I'm going to jump into that in a second. First, I want to address something we were talking about just a little earlier. You know, we're talking about how is laughter really the best medicine? Now, I want to make sure people understand we're not touting this miracle cure. Everything's going to fix you. We're not Dr. Oz and, hey, buy this and you will be cured.
But if you go to WWE,
No. Not a big fan of Dr. Oz right now. But I will say, at the very least, it will help your life experience. You know, like I was talking about with my mother, she eventually did succumb to the cancer, but her life experience maintained a high. And that's you know, what you want. There's a quote that I love from the Sandman comics where his sister Death is talking to somebody and she says, you get what everybody gets. You get a lifetime. Which is, you know, it could be very, very short. It could be very, very long. Anyways, jumping back into the negative people, sometimes here's the interesting thing about them, especially with your family, and they kept coming to you with the negative, my life sucks, my life sucks, my life sucks. Yes, it's annoying. And for me, I distance myself from that because it's like they need to move beyond that. And it's not helping me because that's something I can succumb to. But you have to realize to empathize with them a little bit. It's the only way they know how to relate to other people. And if you look at it that way, they're not just trying to tell you, hey, my life sucks and I want to bring you down. They're trying to connect with you in the only way they know how. If you can teach them another way to do, and it's up to them to learn this, you're not going to make somebody better. You will not change the alcoholic. You will not change the drug addict. You will not change people who are addicted to certain points, certain ways of being, emotional being. You know, if they're addicted to that thing, you can plant seeds. You can say, hey, now give me something positive. That's usually what I will do. They'll do that and I'll go, okay, now tell me something positive. And they'll take a step in that direction and then lean back to where that sucks. You have to be patient with that. You have to be able to say, well, yes, I hear what you're saying, but that's not positive. What's going on good in your life? And if you can connect with these people, that's an experience that you get to have as well. Then you're able to look at them and not go, oh, you're negative Nancy, I don't want to talk to you. It's like, no, you're my brother or my sister, and I do want to have a connection with you. And you try to find something else. And if it keeps bringing up your poop, and this is getting very, very close.
Your own issues is what he's talking about.
Yeah, this is very close to home for me because I have a relative who is very, very negative to the point where I shy away. And I need to get over that. I need to get over myself and find another way to connect and help them find another way to connect. You know, maybe I limit my exposure to them, but still, it is about helping them see the up when they're down and for myself. Because if it's bringing up my poop, if it's bringing up my issues, then there's something in me that's being dragged into that. And I need to work on that in myself. So I don't know if this is answering any of your questions, but this is definitely something that I've been experiencing lately, well, just in the last week or so.
It still comes down to you. I mean, that's the
yeah, baby,
line.
All the time.
Now, let's because we don't have that much. Actually, we're about to wrap up. I was going to say, when I dealt with a family that was negative Nancy all the time, part of it is I started treating it like I was doing a Success Freak show. We had a negative caller or something. I would just give advice. Go, really? You got nothing going on in your life good? And when they would be like, blah, blah, blah. I honestly started mocking them a little bit.
Let's talk about that in the next segment because I want to have that conversation.
In the next segment, we're going to talk about stuff that's going on in the chat room. And we're going to talk about dealing with depression. And I'm going to be a little controversial. We'll figure this out. But there's some good chat about depression going on in the chat room. We definitely want to distinguish that and what we're talking about and how to stay up when you're down. So, Mornit, I believe they can find us over at successfreaks.com where we have all kind of podcasts. I believe there's
podcasts,
videos.
There's videos, there's blogs there sometimes.
A book is linked in there somewhere.
Yeah,
so
you know.
Can check that out.
All our social media.
Follow us, please.
Please.
Hi, this is Mike with MikeAtTheMic.com. And you know how it works. When you need voiceover, you need it now and you need it inexpensive. And you need to get it as professional as possible. So if you're looking for a guy who's a podcast producer who comes equipped with voiceover skills and is affordable, professional, and quick, I'm your guy. Check me out. MikeAtTheMic.com. That's M-I-K-E at the M-I-C.com.
Welcome back to Success Freaks number 206, How to Stay Up When You're Down. And right now we have something from the chat room. We have a statement. Normally this is our question time, but it's more of a statement. And I think Charles is going to read the statement because he's the best reader. He's a reader.
Well,
be careful.
Actually just going to paraphrase the statement as we were talking in the last segment here live. Now, let's talk about being live for a second. We are on blogtalkradio.com/successfreaks. We record live on Tuesday mornings. We try to shoot for 10:30 a.m. Eastern time, but sometimes life changes that. We record at different times. If you subscribe, or I'm sorry, if you follow, the term is follow on Blog Talk Radio. If you hit follow, you will get an email. You will get notification that we are live, and you can listen right now. If you follow us on Success Freaks on Facebook, facebook.com/successfreaks. Of course, success_freaks on Twitter, Outhouse of the Bear, at Mordant World. You will see us posting in social media that we're live as well, so you can be here. So Mike is live in the chat room, and we're talking in the last segment, and he said he wants us to make a distinction between being in a funk, which is, oh, poor, pitiful me. And this is my interpretation of funk.
Don't degrade it so much. Being in a funk because, you're down because of certain things happening to you.
Well,
it's not you're not just being whiny.
No.
You know, okay, so don't put the bad mouth on the funk.
I want to put the bad mouth
here
on the funk.
Come the
I
funk.
I'm still talking about from my own personal experience. If I look back when I'm in the funk, the mentality is life sucks. Okay.
Right.
How about that? Life sucks. That might be a reality, but change your reality. You know, that's a funk. That's when you get told, shut up, dude. Suck it up. Come on. And even though times are tough and you do get the opportunity to cry, you do get the opportunity to be angry, you still need to move forward in a positive fashion. When you just sit there, that's a funk. Now, they want us to talk about depression, and there was a lot of things said about depression. And Laurie, I'm going to change her name to Laurie now.
We call her Laurie. Hello, Laurie.
Lauren says that depression, this is the greatest description of depression ever, as far as understanding it from somebody who possibly has gone through it, or at least been close to it. Depression is like peeling a potato with another potato and not making any progress. And then when somebody comes to you and says, just be happy and suck it up, it's like they're handing you another potato.
Right.
And there's no way out. What is your take on
this stuff? Thing you're talking about, the difference between, being depressed, suppressed anger, a psychological condition, and chemical, actually physiological depression, which
I'm not sure personally. I'm just going to throw this in. I'm not sure we are.
Well, I think there is a difference.
Okay.
I think there is some depression. I know there is, because I know people who are dealing with it. There is some depression where unless you take your medicine, you hate the world, you hate everybody, and it helps balance that out. Now, those are diagnosed depression. There is such a, unfortunately, with the medical and pharmaceutical companies the way they are, they're like, hey, you're feeling a little bit down, you need this. Not necessarily, because then there's a psychological condition, something you have to deal with, whatever you're repressing, whatever anger you really have, sadness and anger, depression. That's something that you can deal with, at least look at it, accept it, and then move on. That's different. But we are, for the most part, talking about when you have medical conditions, when you have something going wrong in your life and you get into that funk, you get down. That is what we've been talking about here on the show. What Mike has brought up is like actual depression, something you have to deal with, whether it's physiological or whatever. That requires more. And that's, you're right. We don't want to hand you another potato. Well, you just have to change your mind. You just have to turn around and everything's going to be fine.
I will hand you a potato peeler, which means you still have to go and peel the potato yourself.
You and I have the same. Let me, and I may be wrong in this, Charles, but I think it's true. You and I are not depressed. We don't have depression. We get out of the funk pretty seriously. So it's hard for us to look at somebody and go, who is actually suffering from physiological depression, clinical depression, and just go, well, why don't you just change it? If your life is not life.
I got to catch that. I know what you're saying, but I got to catch the tone you threw. Why don't you just say, we would never say that. None of our messages.
It sounded like you just said that earlier in this segment.
I'll throw it out then. You want me to take it?
Take it.
Take it. Come at me, bro. Come at me, bro.
Come at me, bro.
No camera. There's no camera. I'm sitting here with my arms out like there's a camera. Come at
me, bro. Why are you mad, bro? Why are you mad?
Okay, so this paradigm that I'm really exploring and diving into based on, growing from The Secret, growing from Christianity, growing from stuff I'm learning about the Bible and this and that, the other two, and growing from my own experience, you affect your own reality. I believe the body will respond to how you see life.
There's so that body and mind connection.
When you're talking about a chemical imbalance and you have to have drugs, I am saying get the help you need. But if you don't change the way you see yourself, the way you see your reality, the way you see your life, you'll be dependent on drugs the rest of your life. And you'll prove to yourself, oh, I went off the drugs, I got depressed again. I am avoiding, by no means, this is a great way to say not without saying not, okay? By no means am I saying, why don't you just change? That's, no, you can change. I'm trying to show you, you can change. You can do it with the help of professionals, but you still have to do it yourself. They can only help you.
You have to take responsibility for some of the inertia that you're going through.
Drugs can't change you.
That downward spiral that you may be on, you know, if you have clinical depression, they will definitely help you. But it doesn't mean that you still have to take responsibility for your life. Unfortunately, this may be the cards that you're dealt, whether it's something that.
I disagree. Well, you can always change the deck.
That's what I'm saying. You have to learn to play with the deck that you're dealt.
But no, you're saying play with the deck you're dealt. I'm saying change the deck.
And there are plenty of people out there, you know, there are amputees who can mope around and going, well, my life is over, or you know, blindness or whatever. And then you see other people who have even less and who are going further in their life too. So something I want to point out, this show has changed from how does somebody stay positive when negative things are happening, to how do you deal with negative people? That's what the show has become right now. And we still are not dealing with...
No, I thought we were talking about depression.
I know, but it's right. I think what we're talking about is how do we deal with those people who are depressed? How you and I deal with them as well.
I want to talk about... That's what I'm trying to get to, is I'm talking about people going through depression.
Get to
people
it.
Dealing with it. And that's exactly what I was saying. I'm not talking about how I deal with them. I am talking to you, the person who's dealing with depression. And Caitlin Bean, in the interim, in the middle part, said, after I set this up and talked about where I was going to come from, she says, someone who suffered and overcame depression is a combination of professional help and personal change in life. I agree with McFaul all the way. And that was before I started all this, so she may change some of what she's saying. I am saying, if you're chemically depressed, get the help you need, but you still have to change your reality. You still have to find the positive in life to pull towards. You still have to view yourself in a different way. One of the best people I've ever met who's an example of this is Ronnie Rocks, who was diagnosed with breast cancer. I'm not sure what else she may have been diagnosed with. I just know that one for sure. I never knew for 2 years that she had ever had cancer. It just came up in a conversation naturally one day. I'm like, what? You had cancer? Because she doesn't define her life that way. If you define your life as being depressed, you will stay depressed no matter what the drugs do. No matter what the doctors do, if you define yourself as being depressed, you'll be depressed. Well, I was talking about with the brain chemicals and how they respond to how you see your life. It has been proven, not on a depression level, on another level that I think you can. If you want to change your reality, you can go this far out. But it's been proven people who believed they had leg pain had leg pain. It wasn't until they were given a placebo that they went, oh, this placebo, the sugar pill, worked. I don't have pain anymore. Is that real? Is it not real? And you may be screaming at me from the other side of the radio going, but this is different. This is depression. What I'm saying is you're defining yourself. I can't say just fix it. There's no just fix it. What I'm saying is get the help you need to alter your chemicals. But if you don't change your reality, you'll either be on drugs the rest of your life. It won't change you.
Get the help you need, but also don't forget to help yourselves. In the same vein of what Charles is speaking about, there's something that I read recently. There's been x-rays of people with slip discs, and then those people with pain. And the people who had pain and the people who had the slip discs, they didn't actually match up to what they found in the x-rays. So some people with slip discs did not experience any pain. And some people who did not have them did. And it wasn't until the doctors say, oh, yes, you had this and you have to have surgery, then the pain was there. So it's also something your doctor says can affect you mentally as well. Now, I'm not saying don't listen to your doctor. Absolutely, I'm not saying that. But I am saying you are responsible for your attitude about things. And be careful what you allow to come into that. So if you're like, I'm depressed, I'll always depressed, I'm going to always have to deal with this. Yes, as long as you have that mindset.
Right. And man, we filled up this time. We're going to come up with a level up section next. I think we've got some good stuff. We'll be right back.
Success Freak's Guide to Dream Hunting is an honest and revealing look at tagging and bagging a bigger, badder, better, more life. Mordant and McFaul. discussed the trials and tribulations encountered on their path through uncharted territory, the lessons learned along the way, and how they use them to move forward. Explore what causes you to hesitate when taking that first big step into the unknown. Discover how to experience the thrill of success firsthand. A guidebook for those brave souls no longer satisfied with an average life. Success Freak's Guide to Dream Hunting, available now at Amazon.com.
Welcome back to Success Freaks number 206, how to stay up when you're down. And right now we are talking about how you deal with those times when you have an illness or life has just smacked you in the face, knocked you on your butt. You know, what do you do then? How do you keep a positive attitude when that's happening? Here we are in the level up section where we help you level up your life. Charles says he has a level up. Let's listen in.
My level up is suck it up and get over it. No, I'm just kidding.
Suck it up, put on big boy pants.
I'm totally kidding.
You got Batman on him.
You know, that is absolutely what people listen for. Not specifically for us, but in life. People listen for somebody to challenge them, right? In a bad way. Suck it up. Why don't you just be happy? So I'm sorry. I had to poke the bear a little bit. I've been warned many times in the chat room to leave that alone. Those kind of things. So I'm just kidding. But my real level up is this. Is, man, this is something I've really started applying recently, and it's working very well for me. You have to choose to accept or deny messages about yourself from yourself and from other people. Little quick example of what I'm talking about is I had one person. This one person did both messages, okay? The first message was, man, you're so amazing. You're so great. When you tackle this project, they're going to see what you're doing, and you're going to do so much more. You're going to be amazing. Accept it. I will accept that about myself. I will walk proudly in that message. It is part of who I am now. My wife, she's irritated now that I quote this so often. But my wife at one point said, you know, when somebody asked her, what does your husband do for a living? She says, I don't know. He just tells people to pay him, and they do. I'll accept that because that's a positive message. But the same person who said, you're so awesome, they'll see what you do, and you'll do more, and you'll be great, they accepted. Some other project went on that we worked together on. And at no point was I consulted, and it's a part of my expertise. It's definitely a huge area of my expertise. But at no point was I consulted about how to do it. She just ran off. She did it. And she wanted me to do this one thing that's not my area of expertise. And I did it, and I missed one little thing on it. And because somehow this thing didn't work because I missed one little thing. And she literally told me that it failed because of me and that I had to feel bad about it for a couple of days and then come back to her and tell her how bad I felt about it. And, you know, then talk about what I did wrong. And I just went, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not accepting that message. I did not tank this project. I actually had nothing to do with this project. Here's where you did it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And I did it politely, I did it nicely, but I refused to accept that message about myself. And you could say, but they're just words, but words mean things. It's what we believe. Our belief puts power into them. So the level up is learn to only empower the good messages about yourself and deny the bad ones. And that came to mind when Mordant said, I'm not saying don't listen to your doctor. By all means, listen to your doctor. I'm saying listen to the advice from your doctor. If we're talking about depression, if we're talking about health, if you want to stay up when you're down, if you want to stay up when your family's down, listen to the good things and empower the good things. Hey, this medicine will help you. Great, empower that. But if your doctor says, man, I don't know how to do doctor speak, but basically if they say you're screwed up and you're going to be in this pain, you're going to be in this sickness, you're going to be in this depression for a long time, say no. Reject that message. Because that will keep you in that pain and that sickness for a long time. Level up how you accept and deny messages. That's mine. Pass the plate. Yeah. We're done.
That's it. No more level up.
I choked up more than I win.
Mine is, we've talked about before, laughter is the best medicine. I'm going to say life is the best medicine. If you have, if you're getting a lot of negative stuff coming your way, change. Don't take yourself outside of life. Don't remove yourself from the game. You know, something as simple as walking, and I'm not being flippant with this. Something as, you know, touch the sun, go outside, take a walk, go outside, touch the sun. If you're depressed or you're having a hard time or it's a sickness or whatever it is, don't take yourself outside of life. Don't keep trying. Don't tell yourself, well, I've got 6 months to live, so why bother doing this thing that I've always wanted to do? Don't take yourself outside of life. Well, I just want to keep myself away. Be careful what you're addicted to emotionally. because it's an easy thing to slide into. It's easy to slide in there and become lazy. If you find that you're just hiding yourself away from the rest of the world because, you know, you're still reeling from the punch. And it may be the punch may really, really suck. Whatever you're dealing with, love yourself. Put yourself back into life. Even if it's taking a walk, even if it's taking a class, even if it's something that, you know, just puts you out there. Keep moving forward. Find a challenge other than the sickness, other than if you're out of work, do something. Don't just stay at home. Don't just stay inside. Don't just cloister yourself away.
Yeah.
Keep yourself in the game.
And you're saying little things will change you.
Yeah. Little thing shows yourself some love. Give yourself a virtual hug. And by that, I mean, do something.
Listen to what he just said.
Fun.
Show yourself some love. Cut yourself some slack. You know, my wife, I hate to throw her under the bus, but I will here. My wife will go, I'm so tired of being tired, because she's stressed. She's got a lot going on in her life, and she doesn't know how to deal with it. And it's on so many different levels, and she's dealing with what she can deal with. By no means is she depressed. She might have some suppressed anger, but she's not, depressed, sick. But she'll go, God, I'm just so tired of being tired. And I literally have to tell her, cut yourself some slack. You have done this, 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 and this. You could actually be physically tired right now and still be tired. You know, you're not getting enough sleep. You're doing all this other stuff. You have stress. And I help her that way. So what Mordit said, show yourself some love. That's the number one path to being happy.
Right. And along with cutting yourself some slack, take your victories. I've talked to a number of people who, this is happening and this is happening. And then some small victory will be there. I'm like, take your victory. Take your victory lap. Rejoice in that. I don't care how small it is, in light of the huge thing that's wrong, of the huge black cloud that's over you. You got a ray of sunshine, grow a plant there. Take your victory lap. Pat yourself on the back. You need a little bit of positive, because everything happens in degrees. And you're going to work yourself back to being a little more positive, even in this crappy time, a step at a time. So take your victory lap.
Now, there's some level ups from the chat room. I had to refresh. The chat room went quiet on me, but because it was for some reason not catching up. Caitlin actually stuck with me the last section and agreed. I'm going to skip what people were doing. But here, Lauren Alexander says, I have a lot of opinions about what you've discussed. But she says, it's way more helpful to say, let's find a way to remove the toxic stuff from your life than it's up to you to change your life. I'll accept that. I will accept that phrasing. That's exactly what I'm trying to communicate. Let's find a way to remove the toxic stuff from your life. I don't mean just chemicals. I mean your thoughts, your messages, those kind of things too. Let's find a way to, and only you can get rid of it. I can help you find a way. Your friends can help you find a way. But only you can change those things with the help that's given.
And along the lines with that, insert positivity. And by that, I mean, if everything around you is, you have no joy around you, watch something that's funny. Find if you like to read or listen to self-helpy stuff, whether it's Success Freaks or something else, plant that seed. So at least you have something that's positive coming into your life. If you can't jump start it, if you can't prime the pump, find something that will help you, even if it's a little bit. Something that you go into a museum and see something beautiful. Go outside and walk in a garden and see something beautiful.
Here's something that you can do more than it. Here's something that our listeners can do, is what she said as the quote-unquote patient, not necessarily the patient that we're coaching, right. But she says, being told that it's on me to change it puts an intense burden on me to find that needle in the haystack. Yes, the burden is yours, but here's what she's going to say next. This is what we can do. People often need someone to walk with them, not tell them where to go. And that is very, very important, because I agree with that. I know you agree with that, Mordant. On the show, we definitely tend to get this wider view of life. We don't have specifics. We're not talking to one special person. So we do tend to tell you to go fix it, because we can't be there for you. But I definitely want to say, one-on-one and on the show, if we can, if we had a direct message. Or I don't know how to change this mentality, but we definitely want to say we want to walk with you. We're not exactly trying to tell you where to go. We feel like you're asking us, you being the general universal you, Mordant. I feel like they're asking us, where do we go? And we give them the steps. How can we change that to we're going to walk with you?
something that is very, very true. We don't give you teaching from on high here. We're in the trenches with you. These are some of our own experiences, things that we're going through as well. And we're just, here's some light that we found. Here's some ideas that we have. Something that Mike says, listener Mike, with depression, the drugs are not a cure. All they do is help to balance you out so you can begin to deal with the issues that are hurting you. So there, you know, they give you breathing space on some level. And this is clinical depression. If you're feeling depressed and you're, you know, you've had like a week or two of, oh, I'm just down, it is not saying go ahead and put drugs in your system.
Alcohol, they do other drugs, or you eat a lot, or you just go to a whole bunch of movies and distract yourself from life. We all self-medicate. So for somebody, and Mordit is not doing this, I'm not putting him in this boat, I just heard voices, you know, people I know. If somebody's putting you down for needing drugs, you punch him in the face, because we all self-medicate, and the people who are pointing the finger saying, oh, you're on drugs, you're going to be dependent, which is the opposite of where I'm coming from today. I'm saying get the help you need. If it's medication, if it's other medication, whatever you need to balance, what Mike says, to balance yourself out so you can start dealing with things. If anybody judges you for that, it's because they're in a crap hole and judging themselves.
Now, I want to throw out
Can you hold it? I'm sorry, we hit our time. He's doing the pee-pee dance. He's holding it. So we'll be right back.
It's our responsibility to look out for our neighbors first. Look around you. If the person next to you was hungry, if they were struggling, would you help them? Islamic Relief USA donors have been doing just that and more for fellow Americans for years. You provide everything from food to financial education to hope for a better future for people in the United States suffering through difficult times. To learn more, visit irusa.org. Islamic Relief USA, working together for a better world.
Welcome to On and Beyond Success Freaks, where we go bigger, badder, better, more into the topics of the night, where I am always right and Mordit's right there beside me. We're going to talk about, in this segment, we're going to talk about the chat room and how they've changed their views and something that they threw out. So Mordit, you wanted to end the last segment with this. Why don't you just go ahead and throw it out there and jump on it?
Something that listener Lauren said, and of course now my thing moved. Something that listener Lauren said was very nice, a compliment. It says, I use this show to offer tools to others as well as help myself. They listen. They listen to the show and we discuss it, and I help them with the tools from the show. So you guys do walk with us. See, that was very nice. That would have been a nice thing to end the last segment with. But
we were up against time. So we're talking about drugs. She says, you guys offer the tools and we can find the ways to apply it in our life or ask for the help. You know what? I want to go a little out there. Normally, Mordit's the woo-woo out there guy, but it's talking about earlier in the show, the story of the gentleman who just opted out of having cancer. He's like, it doesn't work for me. I don't know exactly how I feel about that. I'm still opening up my mind to what I preach, and what I preach is you can change your reality. What I can tell you directly from my life that I believe 100% is how I had my kids. And I don't mean all the stuff that, yes, I hear you chuckling, Mordit.
I was like, I don't think you had your kids, my friend.
Well, no, I'm not even talking to, yes.
You had a surrogate
yes,
do
I
it.
I totally did. I totally brought this about in the universe. My wife and I together, and there's this thing in religion called agreement, and I've seen it work in life. When people focus on one thing, said, yeah, we're going to do this, you do this. Mordit, you tell the story of the golfer and the reporter who went to college together. They were in agreement. They said, we're going to do this together. They practiced it over and over and over again. It's from, you know, Chicken Soup for the Farts or something. I don't remember what book it's from.
Dude.
I don't know. Do you remember what book it's from?
Yeah, it's from The Secrets Recorded, or The Secret Teachers Recorded Live. It's a speech, I think, that Jack Canfield gave. He's talking about the law of attraction.
So I was close. Chicken Soup for the Farts. It was close. You know? So, I mean, how many chicken soups can you have, really? It's going to be
apparently a lot.
Chicken soup for the stub toe. Chicken soup for picking your boogers. I mean, come on, you're stretching now, Jack.
You're making fun of somebody who's very, very successful in what he does. It Sounds like jealousy, my friend.
Maybe a little bit.
Is that what the ambient is about, jealousy?
Maybe a little bit. But my point is, they were in agreement. So my wife and I, when we decided we were going to have kids, the time was right, we're going to start trying, we didn't care. We both said we agree we don't care the sex of the child, boy or girl. It can be either. Because we knew we were going to have another one. So the first kid came. It's a son. And we're like, okay, great. And I kind of liked it, like firstborn son. I was indoctrinated with a lot of religious stuff. So it was kind of like, okay, cool. But it really didn't matter. Had a daughter first, it had been fine. Had a son. We said together, we're going to have a girl. And we're going to have a girl. We had already talked about spacing the kids out. My sister and I are 3 years apart. We're not that close. My wife and her brother are 3 years apart. They're not that close. My best friend, Douglas, him and his sister are 3 years apart. They're not that close. I mean, there's interactions, there's relationships, but they're just not close. What I've seen in study of other people is either putting them right close together and they're really close, or putting them way far apart where it's 5, 7, 8 years, where the older one can take care of the younger one. They're closer that way. They have a different relationship. So we decided that we felt right. It was going to be close. So we said we're going to have a girl and they're going to be close together. Almost 18 months to the day, we had a daughter. Okay, the timing was off after that. We said, okay, we're ready to wait for a while. We had those two kids. We came together at a certain time, at the same time, and said, we're going to have kids again. Okay, we had the next kid. We didn't care if it was a boy or a girl. Came out a boy. We said, we're going to do the same thing. We're going to have a girl, and we're going to have them close together. And almost 18 months to the day, we had a girl. That's what belief is. That's what changing your life is. That's why when I say you can change yourself, it's not a command. It's not a burden. I'm not trying to put a burden on you. I'm trying to show you, no, you have the power.
What Charles is talking about here is how effective the law of attraction is or can be in your life. The story with the two golfers, where they did go to college together. One became a reporter. One went on to win the Masters. And they would do is like they would have him interview the guy. The guy would mimic putting on his jacket, the green jacket that you get when you win the Masters. And the other guy would interview so that they would both, you know, detract that in their life. What happened many, many years when the golfer finally won the Masters for the first time, he went into the tent to be interviewed by all the people. And there was that his buddy from college, that same guy, interviewed him. They realized what had happened. They started crying. Another example was Wayne Dyer saying that he was going to be on The Tonight Show with it wasn't Johnny Carson. It was somebody. It was the guy before Steve something. I can't remember what it is. People are going to yell at me.
Steve Allen.
Steve Allen. He's I'm going to be on Steve the show Allen. With Steve Allen. And his first time ever being, he was on many times to be on The Tonight Show. It was Johnny Carson was the host. However, that night, the guest was Steve Allen. So he was, in fact, on the show with Steve Allen. The universe, God, whatever you believe, the source has a sense of humor. And if you can connect with that sense of humor, if you can connect with that quote-unquote magic, that quote-unquote miracle, things will happen in a certain way. And it's a game. It's a play. You're right. Having fun. Find out a way to have fun with all this stuff.
Now,
even with the challenges. And if your challenge is being sick, even with that challenge, if your challenge is you have no work, find a way to stay in the game.
So I want to go back to the chat room. Mike says he did the same thing. He has two boys, though. Maybe the universe hates me or used up all the good universe juice. And Lauren says, 4 years of trying to conceive and believing I got nothing. But here's the thing. Our higher beliefs will override our current beliefs. And what I mean by that is, going back to my story, I told a story in the in-between that I won't tell again because you just have to be here for it, or you have to be part of Patreon. We'll talk about that in a minute. The story I told of things going live, I sat here and thought, man, I believe exactly what I'm saying. I believe that I am the rock god of podcasting. I believe that people love when I speak. They love seeing me do my thing. They love my performances. I believe that. Why am I not moving forward? Why am I feeling stagnant? And stuff about the house, too. There's a lot of story that I won't put in here. I can't. I just don't have time. But I realized it's because my wife and I were on different pages. And I said, I need to correct that. I need to come back together with that. But there's also, why did I lose my house when I believed that I can control everything? Because I believed I need to be in a better place. Because I totally believed what I believe now, which is I am going to speak for a living. I am going to entertain people and educate people and change lives for a living. I couldn't do that from where I was. So I had to lose my house to get me to a better place. I love where I am. Do I like how I got here? No, it was painful. It was hard. I wish I could have done it on my own terms. But my higher belief of what I'm going to do with my life overrode the local short-lived belief of I can fix the house. I can keep us here. Because we didn't need to be there. We needed to be where we are right now. And we need to be wherever we're going to in the future.
How's your life experience now since you've moved?
God, it's so much better, man. The other day,
why?
I got into my Jeep. Why? Because I'm in the right place. Is that the answer you look for, or you want specifics?
No, I want specifics. Okay. What's different?
What's different is Jeep. When I tried to get jobs in Atlanta, I had a bad belief about Atlanta that we won't even go into, but it was far away. It's an hour and a half. Does that really put a kibosh on trying to get jobs in Atlanta? Now I'm 30 minutes away from downtown. I can get there very easily.
That very thing that you may be struggling to hold on to may be the thing that's getting in the way of you having a better life. So if you're looking at something that's happening to you, that this is the worst thing that can happen to me, it may not be. Now, I'm not saying that a sickness can be the best thing, but it could lead to something. It could lead to you meeting people that you need to lead. It could lead to you helping other people that you may need to help, whatever it is. You know, so if you can find some way to stay in the game, and I keep saying that a lot, but the more I think about it, the more I think it's true. Life is the best medicine. Choose life. Choose keeping in it.
So speak directly to Lauren, did not put her business out, but the situation you were in when you were doing the 4 years of trying to conceive and how that ended, you know it wasn't the right thing. So you were believing in happiness and you weren't having it, and that might have blocked. That's all I'm saying. I would love to have a conversation with her in private. What I'm saying is your beliefs, where you want to go, what's actually affecting you in life is what is going to change. What's going to drag you along? If you sit, like Morden's saying, and go, man, okay, I'm using these tools. I'm totally, coming back. Lauren says, oh, yeah, I totally believe the universe is protecting me. So there, that's the end of the story. I'm right. That's the end of the story. It's because sometimes you need protection. You know, when you're going, oh, I'm going to go out, Rock Girl's here. And I know at one point she wanted to start a photography group. And I'm going to... Now, I'm just using her as a base, and I'm going to take it somewhere else. She did not do this. This is not her. But if you want to start photography and you take a few pictures, and then you just kind of sit down and go, why aren't these few pictures doing something? That's a short-lived belief. If you are taking great pictures and something is working with them, this is how, okay, let me go back to me. In podcasting, I believed I was great at podcasting by my second podcast. I've done like 10. But by my second podcast, I believe I was great in podcasting. And yeah, I was going nowhere. Why? Because the universe was protecting me, because I had to make the mistakes I had to make, because I had to learn better who I was. I had to get rid of the crap I believed to get to where I needed to be to now become a professional podcaster at Dragon Con, which is, you know, me tooting my own horn because that came through last night.
So now, as you're leveling up your life with all these things, it sounds like there's a lot of these challenges going on. People are always asking, why me? Why does this always happen? Why do I have these challenges? Well, because you have things that you have to learn yet. These are things that are going to help you level up your life. And if you look at challenges in that way, no matter what it is, give me a light challenge. Oh, I have to learn how to do this. Oh, I hate doing it. I hate learning Spanish, but I need to. Whatever it is, you know, or if it's a heavy challenge, like, oh, I'm dealing with a sickness. Whatever it is, it's a challenge to help you level up your life. Now, that's an inside thing. That's you're spiritually working on yourself. You can go out to the gym and you can work on your body all you want. And as long as you keep doing it, you're going to get in better shape and, you know, fix your diet as well. However, spiritually, the way that you exercise your spiritual man, your spiritual woman, is facing these challenges. And then you'll be dealing at a higher level. Now, anybody who's played video games, you know that when you first start off, you get a, hey, look, I'm leveling up here. I'm leveling up there. I'm leveling up here. But then you get to a certain level. The level ups come, you know, the next level gets farther away. There's more to it. And a lot of people get bored. So if you have an endeavor, if you have an entrepreneurial thing that you're trying and you're like, hey, look, I've come this far. And it's like, it doesn't seem like I'm moving. You need, there's something you're not, why am I not moving there? Why am I not succeeding like I was? Because there's something you don't know. Find out what that thing is and keep leveling up. So,
yeah, there you
and
go.
I have to say right now, damn it, Carl's in the house.
Damn it, Carl. Not on that note, but I can't help it. That's our time for today.
There you go.
You know, so.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to Success Freaks. We're glad that you've listened to the show. We hope it has helped you. It certainly has helped us. Once again, this is R. Mordit Mon.
And I am the I'm not always right, but I'm never wrong bear.
Whatever. Ciao, Success Freaks. Boom, baby.